Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Vav. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Paul Michaels. His yard site actually was yesterday. Pinchas Ben Yeshaya. And we're also learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Jenny Shayowitz. All the Nishamas we learned for which have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin in the Gemara today. Four lines on the top, Pei Vav Omid Aleph, reminding ourselves that in yesterday's Shir we interpreted the Mishnah. One of the ways that to interpret the Mishnah, I did it the simplest way, was that the Mishnah, which said that an Arusa could not eat Maaser Sheni, even though she was now married to a Levi, was according to the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir had said that Maaser Rishon is only allowed to be eaten by a Levi. Today we'll see another interpretation of the Mishnah, but we'll still have an interpretation of the Mishnah like I said it yesterday, so I learned it the easiest way. So we go and ask now, four lines on the top, Pei Vav Omid Aleph, my time in the Rebbeah. Where does Rebbeah learn from the Torah that only a Levi, or a woman married to a Levi, full marriage, is allowed to eat Maaser Rishon? So Amar Rav Acha Berei de Rabba, Rav Acha, who is the son of Rabba, said, Mishmei de Gemara. Rashi explains this unusual expression, Mishmei de Gemara, Kach Kibel mi Rabbo. So Rav Acha Berei de Rabba heard it from his Rebbe, Rabbo mi Rabbo, and his Rebbe heard it from his Rebbe, Ad Rav Meir, all the way back to Rav Meir. Sheshama Mishmo, who actually heard Rav Meir say this, and not that Rav Acha Bar Rabba is making this up on his own. V'lav min daite, coming first to the time of the Rav Meir. Not that he's making this up, but this was actually Rav Meir's time, as he heard from his Rebbe, he heard from his Rebbe. That's what it means, Mishmei de Gemara. In any event, he quotes the following pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Ki es maaser b'nei Yisrael asher yorimu l'Hashem truma nosati l'alviyim l'nachalo. Okay, now Marty Lemisok, but he saw Lo Yin Chalul Nachalo. That's the pasuk. We dash in the first part of it. We make a hekish over here. Ki es maaser b'nei Yisrael, and then we call it asher yorimu l'Hashem l'truma. So, in this pasuk, we refer to Maaser and Truma together with a Hekish. And therefore, and it says it's given to the Levim, Nosati Levim, that we didn't quote, that's why I read the whole pasuk. So therefore, Ma Truma Asura L'Zorim, just like Truma, it's only given to people that aren't Zorim, in other words, non-Kohanim can't get Truma. So too, Ma Truma Asura L'Zorim, so too, Af Maaser Rishon also L'Zorim, so too, Maaser Rishon can't be given to somebody who is not a Kohen or coming from Shevet Levi, meaning the Levim. Boris questions this and says, wait a second, Ima Truma Chayavim Olav Misa V'Chomesh, Af Maaser Chayavim Olav Misa V'Chomesh, are you telling me if we're keeping this Hekish through and through, so then just like Truma, Rechman al-Zan, if a person intentionally eats Truma, and he's not a Kohen, he's a Zor, he's Chayav Misa B'Dei Shemayim, and if he eats it unintentionally, so then he has to pay back the principal, but he also has to add a Chomesh. We mentioned many times the Chomesh is a fifth from the outside, a fourth from the inside. If he by accident ate $100 worth of Truma, so he has to pay back $125. $100 of the principal, that's a fourth of that is $25. You add that to the $100, he has to pay back, that's $125. And now the $25 is one-fifth of the total amount that he pays back. That's what it means, a Chomesh. A fourth from the inside, a fifth from the outside. In any event, if this analogy, if this hekish is true, so then Maaser should have the same thing, Misa B'Dei Shemayim, and have to pay a chomesh, but we don't find that that's true. So Gemara says yes, because we have other pesukim that tell us not to. Amakra umesu bo yichalalu. This is another pasuk. Lishamris mishmarti velo yisu olav chait umesu bo ki yichalalu. This is specifically talking about truma. Umesu bo. Bo is a miut. Only this truma has the din of Miso Bidei Shemayim, if Rachmanu Litzlan, Umesu Bo, a person could Rachmanu Litzlan, if he intentionally ate Truma, and he says, he would die. But the Miut Bo tells us it only applies to Truma. Likewise, we have another pasuk that says, V'ish Kiyochal Kodesh Mishko Gov, a person by accident eats Truma, the Yosef Hamish Yisrael Lov. So, V'nosan Lakor and Esa Kodesh. Here it also says, the Lashon of Yosef Hamish Yisrael Olav, meaning a Miut on it, only for Truma is there the penalty of a fifth, but not by Maaser. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. When we have the word Umesu Bo, Ki Halu Bo Vel Maaser, that comes to exclude. We have the Hekish comparing Maaser and Truma, but here we have a pasuk telling us not to compare it in regards to Misa B'Shemayim. It's only Bo by Truma that there's Misa B'Shemayim Velo B'Maaser. And then the other meat, Yosef Hamish Yisrael Olav, Olav, only in regards to Truma is there the penalty of having to add on a Chomesh Velo Maaser, but not on Maaser Rishon. Now, this is a very nice drasha that Rav Meir gave. What did the Chachamim do with this Hekish and this Pasuk? Rabbanim, how did they darshan this Hekish over here? So they say, no, we're comparing Maaser and Truma in the following way. Ma Truma Tovela is just like Truma. If you don't take off the Truma, it's Tevel. And anybody that eats Tevel, even a Kohen who eats Tevel, is going to be Chayav. Even though ultimately one is a hafrash, the Kohen can eat both the Truma that's taken off in the Tevel and the Chulin, but while it's Tevel, even the Kohen's not allowed to eat it. So this hekesh between the Truma and the Maaser Rishon is coming to teach us, Af Maaser Rishon Nami Tovel, that even if you took off the Truma, but you didn't take off Maaser Rishon, it's still called Tevel, and it's also to be eaten by anybody. And this is supported, the first version that we have over here, is bringing this brisa in support of this din that we just darshan down from the Chachamim. Uchidatanya, this brisa that Rav Yossi authors, says as follows. Rav Yossi Omer, the brisa tells us that Rav Yossi's opinion is, I would have thought that it's called Tevel until you take something off it. But the minute you take off Truma, it's no longer called Tevel. How do we know that if you took off only the Truma Gedola, but you didn't take off the Maaser Rishon, or if you took off the Maaser Rishon, the low Maaser Sheni, but you didn't take off the Maaser Sheni, or in the third and sixth years, when you don't take off Maaser Sheni, like you do in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, but in the third and sixth year, if you didn't take off Avilu Maaser Ani, meaning that it's still called Tevel under all of these situations, and it's also to be eaten until you've taken off the Afrashas, Trumas, and all of the Maestros. So this Brisa tells us, Rav Yossi Omer, Talmud Lomer, it's based upon the following Pasuk, where it says, read the whole Pasuk, Lo Sucha Lechol Bishorecha, Masad Dilcha, Digoncha, Vesirushcha, Vitzurecha, Charos Bekorcha, Vitzurecha, Vechol Nodarecha, Shertidov, Vinodosecha, Utrumas Yodecha. So we dash in this part over here, lo sucha lechol bishorecha, and it refers to masar digoncha. So you're not allowed to go and eat the maaser within your gates. Now, ulahalan hu omer, and another pasuk it tells us, ki sechal laser is called masar tvuasucha bashano hashlishis ushnas maaser, at the end of the third year and as well as the end of the sixth year, that you take off the maaser rishon and maaser on. Even osata lelevi lager leisom lamuna v'yachlu bishorecha v'seveyu. Here again we have the word bishorecha. So we have gzei rishava between the pasuk lo sucha lechol bishorecha and this pasuk v'yachlu bishorecha v'seveyu. Now, this second pasuk is clearly talking about Masharecha Omul Lahalun Maaser Ani. This is clearly talking about Maaser Ani in the third and the sixth year. It states Beferish, you're giving these to the Ger, the Yoso, and the Amana, which are Aniim. So therefore, that pasuk refers to Maaser Ani, Afsharecha Omul Kan Maaser Ani. So too, the first pasuk which says Lo Sucha Lechol Bisharecha must be referring to Maaser Ani. Now Maaser Ani has no restrictions on where you can eat it, so therefore it must be talking about some situation when you can't eat Maaser Ani. What is that situation that you can't eat Maaser Ani if it's still Tevel? In other words, if there still is not taken off the Maaser Ani, then nobody is allowed to eat it. And therefore, this Gzeira Shava here between Sharecha comes to teach us that it's still called Tevel even if you haven't taken off even the Maaser. Now, we had this brisa that Rav Yossi just brought down. Why do we need the first hekesh that we had if you have this brisa? So Gemara says, Vibi Hasi, if we only had this Gzei Rishava, Hav Amina Lalav, I would have said we compare it as a lav. Just like there's a lav not to take off all of the Trumas and Maestros, so to over here, by Maaser Ani, if you didn't take off even the Maaser Ani, there's a lav, and you're not fulfilling the requirement to go take off Trumos and Maestros. But I wouldn't have said that it's Misa B'dei Shemayim if you'd still have Tevel just La Maaser Ani. Therefore, Kamash V'lan, that's why we needed the Hekish and the Pasuk comparing Maaser to Truma to tell me, no, that there is a concept of Misa B'dei Shemayim if it's still Tevel. Even Tevel La Maaser Ani. This version that we just read had the Hatanya as a Raya to the Sheet of the Chachamim. Lishnach Rina, in a second version, this brisa that stated in the name of Rav Yossi is brought as a question. It seems to contradict. But Lishnach Rina, Maaser Rishon, Detovil mi de Rebbe Yossi Nafka. Rebbe Yossi learned it out. Why did he need the Hekesh in this situation if you could learn it out from Yossi? So the Gemara says the same terrace that we gave a minute ago, Imi Ahi. If you only had the Gzei Rishava, Havamina Lav, I would have only known it for a Lav. Abu Misa Lo, I wouldn't have known that there's Misa B'dei Shemayim if you read Tevel, even without taking off the Maaser Ani, Kamash V'lan. So that's why you need both of them. So again, the first version and the second version come to the same conclusion. The first version just brought it, Rav Yossi's Brisa, as a proof and an additional Raya to this din. Second version has it as a question, but ultimately comes to the same answer that it's both of them are needed. Now, the bottom line is, until now we've been explaining our Mishnah that says that the Maaser Rishon is required to be eaten by Levi, or a woman married to a Levi, or the children of a Levi, but not by Yisraelim. So this we said, b'mayukim, to how have we learned our Mishnah? The simple way to learn our Mishnah is Rav Meir, that it holds like the opinion of Meir. But then we had a problem. I alluded to this in the Mishnah yesterday. I already gave us the answer when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, but here we'll now see it inside. Amos say, but then read the end of the Mishnah. It says, bas levi mu'oresis l'kohen, u'bas kohen l'levi. If the daughter of a Levi, in other words, a woman who's a Leviah, marries, first stage of marriage to a Kohen, or if you have a Bas Kohen who has the first stage of marriage to a Levi, then we said in both of these situations, lo sochal lo betruma, that we can understand because the Bas Kohen is now married to the Levi, so she's no longer entitled to eat from truma, and the Bas Levi who's married to a Kohen, we said, an Arusa doesn't eat midrabbanim from truma. So therefore, we understand the lo sochal lo betruma. That's very good. However, v'lo b'maiser, why not maiser? Hocha maizorasika. Either she's a bas kohen and she's entitled to eat maiser, or she's a bas levi and she's entitled to eat maiser. Why should her marriage to a kohen or a levi take that right away? So that part of the Mishnah we said we'd have to explain, and we explain it the first way as follows. Amar Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes gives us the first teretz, and he says, you no longer have to learn the Mishnah as being in accord with Rav Meir, because the way Rav Sheshes is learning it, it now says that you can even learn the Mishnah to be like the sheet of the Chachamim that hold that anybody can eat Ma'aser Rishon, because Rav Sheshes says as follows, Mai Eina Ocheles Tiftani, that which we said over here, that the woman is not allowed to go and eat Ma'aser, what does it mean? Mai Eina Ocheles Tiftani? Ain't no senis rishus lisro. She doesn't have the right to go and separate trumas meiser from the meiser rishon that the Levi got. So in this situation where she's married to a Levi, but only the first stage of marriage, as opposed to a woman who's in the second stage of marriage, which we'll prove in a second, once she's fully married, she does have the right to take off the trumas meiser from the meiser rishon, but a woman who's only in arusa doesn't have the right to make a shaliach. Why is a shaliach? She can't do it herself either. But it mentions a shaliach because that's just the usual way. She wasn't living with her husband, so she's in her father's house 20 miles away from her husband. So how's she going to be taking off the meiser, the trumas meiser from the meiser rishon? So it's obviously she made a shaliach to do this. So she doesn't have the right. That's what Rav Sheshes is explaining in the Mishnah. When it says, eino ocheles, it means eino nosenes rishus l'srom, which means that she can't eat it some of the time. In other words, until the Trumas Meiser is taken off of the Meiser Rishon, the Meiser Rishon is Tevel. So therefore, this is what it means, Ein Ocheles. It means that she won't be able to eat it until the husband takes off the Trumas Meiser from the Meiser Rishon, because she is an Arusa, doesn't have the right to do this. So the implication, this is where it says, Mechlal de Nisuin, Nosenes Rishus. So that implies that if she was fully married, the marriage was consummated, she had Nisuin, so then she would be allowed to go take off the Trumas Meiser from the Meiser Rishon, even without her husband's knowledge, but she would have the right to do so. Is that really true? Where it says, in, yeah, that's true. Vatanya. And we bring the following braisa to support that. The braisa states, and here we quote the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, V'achaltem oso b'chomokom, you're allowed to go and eat this in any place. Atem uveischem, you and your household. This is given to you because of your work in the old boy. So the pasuk says that you're allowed to eat this in any place. Atem uveitzchem. Your wife is allowed to go and take and eat this in any place. Lime, this teaches us that if it's a full-fledged wife, on the sua bas yisrael, this bas yisrael who's married to the lady, she knows senes rishus l'strom, that she has the right to take off the trumas meiser from the meiser rishon. So the more questions this and says, no, Atom and Rishus L'Strom, you're reading this as this pasuk that says, Bachaltem, to say that she has the Rishus to take it off so she can eat it. Maybe not. Maybe it means, Oeinu Elulecho. Maybe she doesn't have the Rishus to go and take off the Trumas Meiser from the Meiser Rishon, but she doesn't have the right to eat it once her husband takes it off. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Because Amris Truma Chamura Ocheles, because we've already learned in a previous pasuk that she's allowed to go, if she's the wife of a Kohen, she can go eat Truma. So if the wife of a Kohen, even though she's a Yisraelis, is allowed to eat Truma, so then certainly the wife of a Levi is allowed to go and eat the Ma'aser Rishon. So Ma'aser Akal, Lokol Shekein, so certainly she'd be allowed to go and eat the Ma'aser Rishon. So they can't be telling me that she's allowed to go and eat Ma'aser Rishon. So what's the purpose of the pasuk telling me that in Bachaltem Osobu Chomokom Atem Uveischem? Mustn't it be Ella Limeit Al Nesua Bas Yisrael, that a woman who is a Yisraelis, who's married to the Levi, she knows Senes Rishus L'Yisrael, that now she has the right to go take off the Trumas Ma'aser from the Ma'aser Rishon. Of course she can eat it. That we know from the fact that a Kohen's wife can eat Truma. So certainly the Levi's wife can eat Ma'aser Rishon. But the Chiddush of the Pasuk is that she's allowed to even go be Torim when she's in a Suah. but she's not allowed to be Torim when she's Arusa. So the way Rav Sheshis learns it, Lav Dafka is our Mishnah going according to Rav Meir. We could say that our Mishnah is going according to Chachamim, that says anybody can go and eat Ma'aser Rishon, but when it says eating Ma'aser Rishon in the Mishnah, it's not talking about eating Ma'aser Rishon, it's talking about being Torim, the Trumas Ma'aser for the Ma'aser Rishon, and that an Arusa cannot do. Only a Nesua can do that. So we've now said our Mishnah doesn't necessarily hold like Rav Meir, but now we bring down a Shita that our Mishnah does hold like Rav Meir. And in fact, Rashi has a long Hochi Garsinan over here, which as I've mentioned many times, so the Gemara has already incorporated Rashi's Hochi Garsinan. So Rashi has eight lines over here of changes in the Gemara. The Gemara editors have already incorporated all of Rashi's changes. So now we bring down Mar Berei de Ravona, Omar. Mar, who's the son of Ravona, he says as follows. The reason why our Mishnah says that the wife of the Levi, who's only married to him in the first stage of marriage, cannot eat the Maiser, is like Rav Meir says. Lomar Shein Cholkin Lo Maiser Beves Agronos. What it's telling us over here then, how come in the last part of the Mishnah, it says that if she's a Bas Kohen or Bas Levi, she still can't eat the Maiser, it goes according to Rav Meir that says that a Levi can eat the Maiser Rishon, only a Levi, not a Yisraelis. But in this situation, it's not talking about eating it, it's telling us Shein Cholkin Lo Maiser Beves Agronos, that we don't allow her as the Arusa wife of a Levi to go and take the Maiser from people at the silos, at the place where they divide up the crops and give out the Afreshes, Trumas, and Maisers. So normally at that point they would give it to a Levi. They can't give it to this first stage marriage wife of the Levi, even though only the Levim can eat it, like Rav Meir, but they can't give it to the first stage wife of the Levi at that point in time. Why not? So the Gemara says, "Honey, chlamam di amar mishum yichud." The reason why the rabbis instituted this gzeira was because of yichud. They didn't want her to go and be alone, rechmanu litzlan, with a man, and who knows what could happen besides the issur of yichud. So therefore, she's not allowed to go take it. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, so then this would apply to an Asua as well as an Arusa. So we'll get to that in a moment. But this makes very good sense. If you're holding like the Shita of Yichud, that's why you can't give it to the wife of the Levi when she's an Arusa. But according to the opinion that says, we make a gzerob here, that once the woman's a Grusha, she's no longer able to eat it, so therefore don't give it to her even when she's married, is a low plug, because we're concerned, we make a gzera for a Grusha to a woman who's married. But if that's the reasoning, so Gemara says, Gerusha Baslevi, Milo Achla B'Maiser. But even if she is a Gerusha, if she's a Baslevi, wouldn't she return to the status of being able to eat Maiser? So what's going on? This reasoning doesn't apply. So Gemara says, and what? You have no problem, Ultaimech, and according to you, how come the Kohen's wife, who's only an Arusa, can't go and eat the Truma? What are you saying? That's also a Gzeira from Gerusha. So Grusha Bas Kohen, Milo Wachla Betruma. But if she was a Bas Kohen and she's divorced, she goes back to her father's house and can eat Truma again. So why would you have to make this Xera? Ella, what must you be saying? Alexera Mishum Grusha Bas Yisrael. It must be because she's a Grusha of a Yisrael. And therefore we make a low plug and we say we're concerned over here of a Grusha of Bas Yisrael eating. So therefore we don't allow the Kohen or the Levi to go and give while they're in Arusa. So Gemara says, in that case, Yochi, my area Moreses, Afilu Nesua Nami. If this is all Xera, so then why does it only apply to a Moreses? It should apply to Nesua as well. So Gemara says, Yitaka, right? It applies to Nesua also. I did the Tonaresha Moreses, Tonanami Sefer Moreses. So you're right. This Gzeira over here wasn't only for a Moreses. It would apply both to an Arusa and a Nesua. So why did it only mention Arusa? Because the Reisha mentioned Arusa. I did the Tana Reisha Moreses, because there was a difference between an Arusa who can't eat the Truma and the Nesua who can eat the Truma. So once the Reisha specified Moreses, so Tana Nami Sefer Moreses. So the Sefer also mentions Moreses. We are continuing to the following Brice, so Tana Rabbanu and Truma LeKohen, who my Serisha Nalevi, Trua for a Kohen and my Serisha for a Levi. So this is the way it's supposed to be done. You give the Truma to the Kohen, you give the Maiserishon to the Levi, Divri Rabbi Akiva. That's the normal way to do things. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, and we turn to Pevov on Mitbeis, he says, no, you give the Maiserishon to the Kohen as well. And that implies, the Gemara says, Kohen below the Levi, you only give it to the Kohen, and you don't give it to the Levi. Does he disagree that much with Rabbi Akiva? Amo, the Gemara says, no. He says, af l'kohen, that in addition to giving it Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi, l'chatchila, you're allowed to give the Ma'aser Rishon to the Kohen as well. Why? So we have the explanations for both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. My time of Rabbi Akiva, what's the reason for Rabbi Akiva? Because the pasuk says so, dirsiv, v'el halav yim t'daber v'yomar to alayhem. It says to the Levim, you shall speak, and it says to the Levim, and the rest of the pasuk says, Ki tichu mi'eis b'nei Yisrael, es hamaser asher nosati lochem, me'itom kenach laschem. By remos v'menu trumas Hashem, ma'isem in a ma'isa. So this is a specific injunction given to the Levim, that they should go and take it. B'levim kom ishtoi koi. The pasuk specifically talking to Levim. So Rabbi Kiva is very straightforward. That's the normal standard understanding of the psukim. What does Rabbi Elozim and Azai say? V'idach? The Rishu Levi, he says you have to understand this pasuk as was understood by Rishu Levi. What did Rishu Levi say? Don Rishu Levi, the Esrim, the Arba, Mekomos, Nikru, Kohanim, Levim. We find that 24 places in Tanakh, we find that the Kohanim are also referred to as Levim. Esrim, Arba, Mekomos, Nikru, Kohanim, Levim, and this is the paradigm. Zeachamim, this is the most clear one. It says Va'Kohanim. Halavim b'nei tzaddik. It says the Kohanim, who are referred to as Levim, they were b'nei tzaddik. Now tzaddik was Kalila Kohen, and yet they referred to the children of tzaddik as Levim. So clearly, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah says, when the Torah tells us that you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, that includes as well an option of giving it to the Kohanim. No, what does Rabbi Kiva do with this? After all, it does seem to refer to the Kohanim as Levim, so why doesn't Rabbi Kiva darshan like Rabbi Shulman Levi and Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah? Rabbi Kiva, what does he say? Hochel Amotzes Amris. He says, no, that's not the correct way to darshan it. Because they'll say, because we have another pasuk that says, here's the full pasuk, Bachalta Moso B'chol Mokom. You're allowed to eat it in any place, Atem U'Veitzchem, you and your families. As we pointed out previously, this was in return for them doing work in the Ol Moed, so they were repaid by getting the Maaser Rishon. Now, Rabbi Kiva says, it says that v'achaltem also b'chol makom, you can eat it anywhere. That implies you could even eat it in a cemetery. So it says you can eat Maaser Rishon anywhere. So that implies you could even eat it in a cemetery. So therefore, it obviously can't be talking about giving it to a Kohen who's not allowed to go into a cemetery. Nope, this is a good raya. What does Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah do with this? V'idach, how would he respond to this? He says, no, when it says b'chol makom, it means kol heicho debay. It means in general, wherever you want. In other words, lo boy choma. It's not like Maaser Sheni, which must be eaten in Yerushalayim, but this could be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't mean you can eat it in the cemetery. V'ochelei betumas haguf, lo lochi. And likewise, he says, the e'ochelei, if a person were to eat this betumas haguf, if you eat Maaser Rishon while he was tameh, no problem. There's no malchus for this, it is permissible. Even l'chatrila. Now we have an interesting Maaser Shehoya. Again, I mentioned previously that Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah and Rabbi Kiva were contemporaries, and Hai Ginosa, there once was a certain orchard or garden, the Havishokl Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, Maaser Rishon Mina. Now, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah was a 10th descendant of Ezra. Ezra was known as Ezra Sofer, Ezra Kohen, and therefore Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah was a Kohen. And nevertheless, it says he specifically took the Maaser Rishon, l'chatrila, from the people who owned this garden. They would give him the Maaser Rishon. Rabbi Kiva was unhappy about this. Also, Rabbi Akiva, ahadre lepischa lebe kivre. So, Rabbi Akiva went and he changed the way that you would enter this garden. He closed off the mistama, the previous passageway that allowed you to get into the garden, not via a cemetery, and he only allowed entrance into this garden via cemetery. And therefore, obviously, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah could no longer go there to go collect the Trumas and Maasos because he couldn't go inside this cemetery, and therefore, he wasn't able to any longer collect the Maaser Rishon from this Gina. And he said, Amar Elozer ben Azariah, Akiva, he called Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, he called him Akiva because he was his colleague, but Tarmilo, he comes with his Tarmilo. Tarmilo is like the backpack that a shepherd would have. Rabbi Akiva used to be a shepherd, as Rashi points out, Bishum the Rabbi Akiva, Raya, the Kabbalah Savua. He was originally the shepherd of his father-in-law, his future father-in-law, Kabbalah Savua. That's Mestama, where he met Rachel, Kabbalah Savua's daughter, his future wife. In any event, he says, Akiva, he comes as a shepherd. And he is standing up, the Marsha says, for the poor people. So I am standing up for the Kohanim. And therefore, Vanochai, I'm going to live and survive on my own because he was independently wealthy and he had Truma to go and support himself. So therefore, that's how the Marsha understands it. That Rabbi Kiva was standing up for the Aniyim and Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah was standing up for the Kohanim. We'll see a little bit more what it means he's standing up for the Aniyim versus standing up for the Kohanim when we get to the next piece of the Gemara. Now Rashi points out that this next piece of Gemara is not directly following the Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, but we'll see it's peripherally related to it. Itmar, they said in base medish, Bimein ma kinsu levim b'maisa. Why did Ezra HaSofer take away the Maisa Rishon from the levim and instead give it to the Kohanim? So Bimein ma kinsu levim b'maisa. Why? So this is Machlokas. Please, will Rav Yonah's son Besavia. Rav Yonah's son and the other sages, the elderly sages, they had the following machlokas. We don't know which one said which. Chadamah, one of them said, Shalom Olu B'mei Ezra. They didn't go up with the return to Eretz Yisrael. At the time, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Ezra brought back people from Babel, but none of the Levim wanted to go. The other one said, so the Kohanim would have something to eat while they were tame. They couldn't eat the truma, so this way they had no food. So therefore, Ezra was misaking that you give the Maaser Rishon to the Kohanim so they have something to eat when they were tame and weren't able to eat truma. Where it doesn't make any sense. According to the opinion that says the Ezra canceled the Levim because they didn't come up. They didn't come up with the Ola Bavel back there to Yisrael. So he said, okay, we'll make a knas. The Levim no longer get my Sarishon. Does that make sense? Mishum Hachi canceled. So therefore they were punished. However, in order that the Kohanim should have something to eat when they were unable to eat their truma. So why is that fair? Mishum Kohanim have nothing to eat. Kansinu Levim, so the Levim should be punished? Why would this be a punishment for the Levim? Just because the Kohanim had nothing to eat. So Gemara says, you're right. Everybody agrees that the reason why the Maaser Rishon was taken away from the Levim was because they didn't come up in the Yimei of Ezra, so Ezra punished them. So then what's the machlok is over here between Rav Yonasan and the Savya. So this is what the argument about. Again, we don't know which one said which. Maar, so one opinion was, that the Knas was given over to the Aniyim. We'll see in a moment which Aniyim we're talking about. But therefore, it was given over to the Aniyim, to the poor people. The other opinion, Maar, so no. Kohanim be made to Mosan, Aniyim ninu. The Kohanim, who were unable to eat Truma because they were Tameh, so they're like poor people. And therefore, it was given over to them. Now, according to the opinion that says the knas goes to the aniyim, we understand very, very well. That's why Rabbi Kiva turned away the entranceway to this gina from Rabbi Elazar ben Azayit, shouldn't be able to enter it. He turned it into the cemetery. We understand that. According to the opinion that says that you give the knas to the kohanim, so amaya hadri lepiskel vekivrei. So then, why wasn't Rabbi Elazar ben Azayit entitled to it? So Gemara says, Hochi Karmelei. This is what the Gemara is telling us. Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Elazar ben Azayit, why do you think you're entitled to this? If you think either causes betoras knasa, then islah. If you're saying it's because of this knas that it was taken away from the Levim and now given to the Kohanim, then you're entitled to it. However, if you say, as you originally had said, that you're entitled to it min haTorah because the Kohanim are referred to as Levim, because it's betoras chaluka, if that's why you think you're getting it, then leslah, then you're actually not entitled to it at all. Now the Gemara goes back and questions, where do we know minolon delo siliku bime Ezra? Where do we know that the Levim did not return with Ezra? Everybody else returned, but the Levim didn't return. Where do we know that from? The Siv. So the pasuk from Ezra tells us, v'ekbitzeim el anohar habo el ava, that the Ezra gathered all the people together at the nohar that entered into Ahava. And it says that they stayed there, v'nachne shom yomim shlosh. They stayed there for 3 days. And Ezra looked at the people, v'kohanim, and the kohanim, umibnei Levi, lo matzah shisham. And he didn't find anybody there from Levi. So therefore, that's how we know that Levi's Levium didn't return. Amar Chista tells us, another knas that the Levim had was originally the Levim were the shotrim. They were the police officers that would go and take care of all the judgments from the basin. Shneamar, the pasuk says, the shotrim halavim lufnechem, and the Levim, who were the shotrim, stood before you. It's a pasuk from the Divrei Hayamim. However, when they didn't come back with Ezra, Ashav, ein mamidim shotrim al Yisrael. But nowadays, when they didn't return with Ezra, so the title or the position was taken away from the Levim and given to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Shneamar. Here we have a very strange thing. Shneamar sounds like we have a pasuk, and the pasuk that's quoted over here, v'shotrim harabim b'roshechem, and there were many shotrim at the lead, at the head. So if you look in the Mitzvah Seshas Oz Gimel, he says pasuk zeh lo nimtza b'tanach. You don't find such a pasuk in all of Tanakh. So what exactly is going on over here? So if you look in the Tosus Yishanim, so he brings down all the way at the very, very end, the very last Tosus Yishanim, he says, Ein zeh pasuk b'chol amik. Well, there is no such pasuk, as the Mitzvah Seshas said, but he says, maybe, b'shem ha'ainu d'siv, pasimein b'roshechem, and if you look in Oz Vav in the Mitzvah Seshas, he adds that Ratzel Omar, what the Tosus Yishanim is saying is, the b'reisha d'kra, at the beginning of that pasuk, it says, k'siv, sham hovu lochem anoshim, etc., v'yiduim l'shivteichem, Almodim Yisrael Ma'ari. So therefore, it's telling us here that they're now going to come from Klal Yisrael and not from the Levim. Okay, we go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is a very interesting Mishnah. We're going to go up and down a ladder, so to say, as you'll see what I mean in a second. So the Mishnah starts off and tells us, Bas Yisrael Shinisis L'Kohen. You have a regular Yisrael, it's a kosher woman who marries a Kohen, Mazel Tov. And at that point in time, when there's a full marriage, she's allowed to eat Truma, Tochal B'Truma.
Nebuch, Meis, if a husband dies, and the law, Hemenu Ben, but she does have children from him, so then as long as she has children from him, she's allowed to continue eating Truma, Tochal B'Truma. But what happens? She's a young lady, she's Nebuch a widow, and she gets married. She marries a Levi, perfectly permissible. Nisus a Levi, so now she marries a Levi, so Tochal B'Meiser, she's allowed to eat Meiser. We've shown this goes Mestam according to the opinion of Rav Meir, who says that you have to be a Levi, or the wife of a Levi, a family of a Levi, in order to eat Maaser Rishon. But in any event, she no longer can eat Truma at this point in time, because once she's married to the Levi, she loses her right to eat Truma, even though she has a son who's a Kohen. Then Nebuch, Meis, the Levi then passes away, and she has children from the Levi, the Lo Yemenu Ben. So she has a child from the Kohen, but she also has a child from the Levi. So then in this situation, she's allowed to continue to eat Maaser Rishon, Tochal Maaser Rishon, but she's not allowed to eat Truma. Then this young lady still, she gets married to Yisrael, Nisus Yisrael. So then here, she no longer can eat Lo Tochal, Lo B'Truma, Lo B'Maaser, even though she has a child who's a Kohen, even though she has a child who's a Levi, she's no longer allowed to eat either the Truma or the Maaser Rishon, because she's now married to Yisrael. Nebuch, Meis, if her third husband dies, and if she has a child from the Yisrael, so now she has progeny from the Yisrael that prevents her from going back to eating from the Levi's rights that she would have from her child that's a Levi, and from the child that she had from the Kohen. So Meis, if the Yisrael died, and she has a child from him, so then lo sochal, lo b'truma, lo b'maaser, then she's not allowed to eat either truma or maaser. We continue, Meis binam Yisrael. Now, Nebuch, again, we're giving a very tragic story over here. Not talking that's ever happened. It's teaching us the principles. If now her progeny from the third husband, the Yisrael child, dies, so now she goes back to having the status of being a progeny from the Levi, and therefore, Tochal B'Maaser, she's now allowed to eat Maaser Rishon again. Nebuch, if this child dies too, Meis binami Levi, if the Levi child dies, so now she has no progeny from Yisrael, she has no progeny from Levi, but she has the progeny from the Kohen, her first husband, so then she goes back to eating Truma, Tochal B'Truma. And the Nebuch, if that child dies as well, Meis binami Kohen, so she has no children from any of her husbands, so then Lo Sochal, Lo B'Truma, Lo B'Maaser, she goes back to being a Stam Yisraelis, who's not allowed to eat Truma, and according to Rav Meir, she's not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon as well. Now we turn to Pei Zayin Omer Aleph. The mission now goes back up this ladder, up and down this ladder, in an opposite way. We start off with a Bas Kohen, Shenisa Sel Yisrael. Here, we have the daughter of a Kohen who marries the Yisrael. So now, until she married the Yisrael, she was allowed to eat Truma as Bas Kohen. But now she marries the Yisrael, so she no longer, once she has even the first stage of marriage with Yisrael, Lo Socha B'Truma, she can no longer eat Truma because she's married now to Yisrael. Meis, Nebuch, if this husband, the Yisrael, dies, but she has children from the Yisrael, so then she is not returning Lebei Saviyah, because she has a child who's Yisrael, so then Lo Socha B'Truma, she doesn't Shava Lebei Saviyah, and she stays prohibited, even though she's a Bas Kohen, from eating Truma because of her child, the progeny of the Yisrael. Then she decides to get married to a Levi, Nisus a Levi. Again, going up the ladder and the other way from the first part of the Mishnah. So she now marries a Levi, Mazel Tov, Tochal B'Maaser. Now she's allowed to eat Maaser Rishon. Again, according to the opinion of Meir, that only Levim and their family are allowed to eat Maaser Rishon. Meis v'lo himenu ben, if in fact this Levi then dies, but she has progeny from the Levi, then she retains the right, Tochal B'Maaser, she retains the right to still eat Maaser. Obviously, she still can't eat Truma, because she has progeny from both the Yisrael and from the Levi. Okay, then she's a young lady, and she gets married again. Nisus l'Kohen, now she marries a Kohen. So, Tochal B'Truma, because she's married to a Kohen, despite the fact that she has Levi children, despite the fact that she has Yisrael children, and unrelated to the fact that she's a Bas Kohen herself, because she's married now to a Kohen, fully married to a Kohen, Tochal B'Truma, she's allowed to eat Truma. Again, Nebuch, we continue, Meis, the Kohen dies, but her husband dies, but she has children from him. She has children that are Kohanim, v'loi menu ben, so then Tochal B'Truma, she's allowed to eat Truma because of the progeny that she has in the Kohen. We continue in our tragic story, Meis Benami Kohen. If all of the Kohanim children she had from the Kohen died, so then she's no longer allowed to eat Truma from the fact that she has progeny from the Kohen. So therefore, Lo Socha B'Truma, but she does go back to eating Maisa because of the progeny she had from the Levi. But now, Meis Benami Levi, if any progeny she had from the Levi now are passing away, so then she loses that right, Lo Socha Maisa, and she goes back to, because she has progeny from the Yisrael, to not being allowed to eat either Truma or Maisa. But then Nebuch, Meis Benami Yisrael, now she has no progeny from either the Kohen, nor from the Levi, nor from the Yisrael. And therefore, in this situation, she's a Bas Kohen, Choseres LeBeis Avir. She didn't do anything wrong. This tragic series of events didn't in any way possible her from being Choseres LeBeis Avir, Kinurel. And she's allowed to go back and eat Truma as the daughter of a Kohen. And about such a case, Valzun Emar, about such a woman, it says, Vishova El Beis Avia Kinurat, that she returns back to her father's house and is able to go and eat Milechem Avia Tochel. She's allowed to go and eat the Truma that she was previously entitled to as the Bas Kohen. She goes back again to that status because she has no progeny from any of the other husbands, the Yisrael or the Levi. Obviously, if she had progeny from the Kohen husband, that would entitle her in and of itself. But here she has no progeny, so she goes back, Choseres El Beis Avia Kinurat, and Milechem Avia Tochel. And she's allowed to go and eat the Truma. Now, we'll stop over here. There's a good break point. Mitzvah Shem will discuss this Mishnah and the up and down the ladder in more detail in tomorrow's Shir.